is conditional, yet is certain. And when God says, I'm going to make it, only one person can walk out of the covenant. God will not walk out of the covenant. Even when Israel sinned against God, Israel committed spiritual adultery, you know. In the Bible principle, God can kick her out and so on. But God did not. God did not. In fact, God went after her because God is faithful to the covenant forever. And he is not just his condition, but yet is certain. So the covenant that God makes with David, you know, primarily is called Davidic covenant. Okay, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 7. You just have to read on your own, verse 12 to verse 17. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of explanation so that you understand the context and how huge it is. The sure mercies of David. It's not just about David becoming a king. It's about how God makes David great. And if you read Isaiah 55 verse 3, it says, I'm making an everlasting covenant with you. Whoever who wants it, incline your ear, come to me, hear, and you shall live. The sure mercies of David. Okay, the covenant that God makes with David, okay, primarily is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 17. In a nutshell, if you read it, it's the promise of God to David that he will establish David's kingdom and his throne forever. And through David, there will be a seed that will sit on the everlasting throne and his kingdom. Of course, we know. Who is that seed? Jesus. Jesus will be the Messiah. He will be the eternal king of Israel. He will be the eternal king of nations. Okay, but read verse 16. Read verse 16. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure. I'm reading from New King James Version. Make sure. That means the sure mercies of David, certainty, will be sure. Make sure forever before me, and your throne will be established for a while. You know, unbelievable. David, study the life of David. He's a weak man. He's a weak man. We all think great about David. No one knew David before 1 Samuel 16. When Samuel went to, God called Samuel, prophet Samuel, to go to Jesse's house to look for that newly anointed king. Samuel didn't know that there's this such a man that exists. I mean, great prophet Samuel. And he still makes the same mistake. His first son come is Eliah. I can't remember the first son of Jesse, you know. Eliezer or something. So he said, okay, this guy tall, dark, and handsome. So he said, this must be the one. So God kind of whispered to Samuel's ears. And Samuel, we have done the tall, dark, and handsome before. Man, look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. So Samuel, okay. Then six sons passed by, and there isn't any. You see, you must understand. We all think that David is always anointed musician. He run Hillsong concert. Every time he play the guitar, thousands of people show up. No one knew David. No one knew David. It's because of mercies of. So when you read this, that's why David, kind of like, I can imagine he was very emotional. When Nathan prophesied that, he said that David wrote a psalm. He said, who am I? Who is this man? Even my father don't like me. Even my mother rejected me. That's where Psalms 27 verse 10 talks about. Even if your father and the mother forsake you, I will take care of you. God choose that nobody because of what? The sure mercy of his leadership. No. If you read, let me read verse 16 again. Your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The entire passage, there's three forever. Wow. Wow. But the covenant of David, I'll come back to the covenant again. Actually, I didn't say much about the covenant. The covenant of David is more than just God's promise to David that he will have an everlasting throne. If that is primarily there, then it's irrelevant for all of us. I'm not David, neither am I Jew, and there's only one king. That's it. No. The covenant of David and Isaiah 55 verse 3 talks about it is how God promised that he would deal with David. How he would deal with David and how he would lead David by his faithfulness, by his love. And when God said in Isaiah 53 that I promise you the sure mercies of David, you know what God is saying to David? I promise you steadfast love. I promise you faithfulness. I promise you I will lead you. I will lead you. If you read David, I say it, no. David is a weak man. He has lots of sin. He committed adultery. I have not. Thank God. I pray that forever I will not. He murdered someone. I have not. It's not because David is great. It's because God makes him great. So when God said, I promise you this sure mercy is I will deal with you with gentleness. I will show kindness and mercy towards you. I am committed to make you great and I will lead you. Turn with me to Psalms 18. Because there are a few psalms that actually epitomize or show us how God lead David. One of the best is Psalms 18. Turn with me to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Now, I keep saying throughout this is David is great because God making great. Every time I look at David, I'm very encouraged. If he can be man after God's own heart, I have a chance. In fact, I have a better chance, you know, compared to track record. He committed adultery, he lied. I mean, I also lie, okay? That kind of like, okay, one all. He schemed, he ran away, okay, three all. But I have not committed adultery, hopefully never. I have not killed anybody, hopefully never. It's because of God's faithfulness, God's leadership. Turn with me to Psalms 18, verse 35. Psalms 18, verse 35. We do a lot of injustice if a lot of time when we primarily talk about the greatness of David. David is great because God makes him great. David is great because the leadership of God is so good. He leads so well. Okay, Psalms 18, verse 35. Best description of the leadership of God over David's life. Let's read. Again, I'm going to read for New King James Versions, but on the surface, the translation is not the best. I think NIV probably has a very good translation. Let me read verse 35 first. God said this, or rather David said to God, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. God is the one who made David great. There's one more. The next one. Your gentleness has made me great. You know what that verse means? The correct translation is God prone down, flat on the floor. And let David stand on him and elevate David. Does NIV translate it that way? What does NIV say? I know Darren is reading NIV. What does that mean? Doesn't matter if you don't have. That's what it means. Your gentleness has made me great. Is God prone down flat on the floor and let David stood on him and elevated David? That is our God. That is the sure mercies of God for us. That is the faithfulness and the good leadership and his plan for us. He will lead us well and he wants us to have confidence in his leadership. Okay, there are fourfold confidence of David in God. Okay, something that we need to learn to cultivate. Okay, I'm going to end by talking about Psalms, a few verses. I want to dwell on it a little bit. Psalms 23. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, familiar verse, but one of the hardest verses to live out. And John 21. If there are three passages of scripture you can remember to cultivate your confidence in God's leadership, these are three. Okay, but fourfold confidence of David in God's leadership. First one, he knows that God is the source of his protection. Nothing else. Psalms 20, verse 7, what does David say? Some trust in horses, some in chariots. What does David trust? The name of the Lord. We are living in really dangerous time. It's true. We all know, government say, ISIS hitting Singapore is not an issue of whether it will happen. It's an issue of when it will happen. We need confidence in the Lord's protection. But God, do you know that in the Bible, God never promised that you will not die or I will not die. He promised protection. We need to have that confidence in his protection. Second, David's confidence in God is, his confidence is, God is the source of his promotion. That's why David is someone that do not scheme. He doesn't play politics. He doesn't play whatever, whether it's in marketplace or so on, he does not. Just write this down. No time to turn to it. Psalms 31, go and read. Jesus quote this on the cross. My time are in your hand. Because he know that God leads well. See, we get into politics, we get into this maneuvering thing, whether it's in school or in office or also even in ministry. I'm in ministry long enough. I was guilty of it too. It's because I wasn't confident in God's leadership. No, I need to do something. Publicize a little bit more. Blow up a little bit, exaggerate a little bit so that more people will come to our conference. Because my confidence is not in him in terms of promotion. He know how to lead. He will lead. And we will get into a lot of things if we don't have the confidence. Third one, God is the source of his provisions. I'm going to talk about a little bit more. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. No, the key is, again, Jesus never promised that We were always in plenty. Read the life of Paul. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about he understand time of plenty and time of need. The real issue is not that you always have plenty. The real issue is the Lord our shepherd? Is the Lord our shepherd? Because when we know that he will lead and he will know how to provide, we're going to find our own answer. I shall lack nothing is not my solution. I shall lack nothing is in the shepherd. He's going to come between us. You can mark my word. It's going to come between us when we come to a point where we lack, where are we going to find the solution? You see, that's where a lot of us make decision for God, with God, and about God, or about calling and so on, a lot based on whether I have money or no money. That's a bad call. You never make decision based on whether you have money or no money. I make decision based on when God has called me. The Lord is my shepherd. I have nothing. Yet I can say, I shall lack nothing. I'll tell you about how we started. No money, no place, no people. Don't even talk about musicians. When we started, no people. Don't even talk about musicians. I mean, House of Prayer need musicians. Yeah, I know. I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I really lack a lot. It's when you have confidence in his leadership. He knows how to lead. He knows. Fourth one, David knows that God is the source of his directions. Source of his direction. Again, Psalms 23 sums up very well. I will again come to it. Yeah. At the end of the day, I will talk about Peter. How Jesus tells Peter. At the end of the day, we need to let him lead. We need to have confidence. We are not going to have answer. Many things we are not going to be answer. But we need to know that the promise, or rather the leadership of God is good. It's good. Let's go back to Isaiah 55 verse 3 again. Isaiah 55. I have no time to run through this Psalms. Let's write down. Psalms 37 verse 1 to 16. It really revealed unto us the confidence that David had in God's leadership. He had powerful six verses. That's why he keeps saying that, do not fret. Do not fret. You see, a lot of time we are fretting. No, he's not talking about fear. He's not talking about afraid. We are afraid is because our emotion is all stirred up. At the end of the day, confidence stabilizes our emotions, not our knowledge. That's where, you know, we may talk, but I always talk about that. You know, when end time come, we're going to face crisis in four emotions: fear, confusion, offense, deception. We need to find stability in these four emotions. It can only be found when we have confidence in the Lord. In the Lord and the Lord alone. Let's go back to Isaiah 55, verse 3. Because this is important. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Say this. Because this, the promise is for David, yes. But the promise is for everyone. This very mercy, this very faithfulness, this very loving leadership that God guarantees David is offered to all of us if we would come. If we would yield to Him, He will be committed to lead us. He will. Okay, let me read through this verse, then I turn to you. Then we will turn to John 21. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You know, notice God, the issue is not your life. The issue is your soul. God is concerned about your heart, your spirit. But the key is a powerful invitation. That means it's made available for everybody. If we will come. If we will lean. If we will hear. Turn with me to John 21. John 21. John chapter 21. It's powerful because it's made available for everybody. Remember I say, no one can thwart the leadership of God for our life except ourselves. That's why we need to yield. We have to cultivate confidence. A lot of time, we don't fully follow or we don't fully allow Him to lead or we don't fully submit to His leadership. It's because we have no confidence in His goodness. We have no confidence that His leadership is good. His plan is good. He's going to mess up. That's why we are afraid. It's vital. John 21, verse 18. Actually, I'm going to highlight verse 19, but since we are in verse 18, I'm going to read. I mean, since you are here, I'm going to read John 21, verse 18. You know, that's a paradox of maturity in the kingdom of God. You see, the paradox of the kingdom of God is totally... No, the paradigm of the kingdom of God is totally different from the paradigm of the world. The paradigm of the world is you are mature, you better do it on your own. Make decisions. But the kingdom of God is different. You know, imagine today I call my mother and say, Mom, how do I get home? I'm going to scold. My mother's going to scold me. You know, how old are you? You know, 53, you know. Still ask me what bus. Take taxi. I don't know how. You know, my mother is going to scold me. Let's go to verse 18, John 21. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you gird yourself and walk where you wish. You know why? We have no confidence. That's what immaturity is about in the kingdom of God. We want to choose our own way. We gird ourselves. We go where we want to go. Now Jesus turned to another point. Now he's talking about that maturity. That means we learn to have confidence in the leadership of Jesus. But when you are old or mature, you will stretch out your hand. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. where you do not wish the leadership of Jesus. We often stop here. Let's go to verse 19, where I'm going to emphasize it because you can hear all you hear whatever that I say today. But if you not learn to say yes, you can thwart the leadership of Jesus. His leadership is good. He knows how to lead us. He's not going to mess us up. We need more and more as we are approaching at the end of the age. We need it. Okay, let's read verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Talking about Peter. Okay, of course, Peter got crucified, but he was crucified upside down. Okay, he actually made a decision. And when he has spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. It's like the question is, will you say yes to my leadership? Follow me. Follow me. And then if you want to go further, we can. No, verse 29, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. Then Peter bring up John. Hey, how about John? How about John? You know what? Basically, Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, don't compare. See, one of the problems that we want to compare. Because the way that Jesus lead me and the way that Jesus lead you is different. Don't compare. All you need to know is say yes. Follow him. Follow him. His leadership is good. He will not mess you up. That is the key thing. Okay. I'm going to give you quickly the definition of covenant. I'm going to run through some practical thing. How do you grow in confidence in the leadership of Jesus? Okay. Yeah. A few. What it means by the covenant of God. Okay. Basically, it's this. When the covenant is make God exert. This is a great encouragement, great assurance. When the covenant of God is made, God exert all his omnipotence and all his omniscience to do good to his people. It is certain. We can have that confidence within us that the sovereign, all-powerful, all-wise God is committed to lead us and to work good for us. That's why my definition of covenant, write down if you want to. Okay, definition of God's covenant. Covenant is like a contract. Okay, nowadays we don't really honor our contract. We buy out our contract or we break bond and so on and whatever. You know, you look at the football league, you know, they kind of like break the contract or they bought over very fast. Okay, what's definition of God's covenant to me? You know why it's definitely God's covenant? No, this will help you to understand this sure mercy. When God signs a covenant, he's telling you what is his JD. Job description. When he tells David, sure mercy, he says, this is my job description for you. Job description, JD lah. Okay. This is my job description. When I sign the covenant with you, David, I'm going to be faithful to you. My faithfulness is sure. When I sign that contract with you, the banner over you is love. That is my job description. I will be faithful. I'm going to lead you well. That is what it means to be covenant. He signed it. Then he said, I'm going to do it. He will do it and he fulfilled both ends of it. Because if you study the Davidic covenant, there is condition, if you study carefully. God promised that David, through the line of David, there will be a son that will be the king forever. But the son has to be wholehearted. All the kings after David, none make it. They all are messed up, including me. Solomon, Rehoboam, then after that split. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom, all the way. Yeah, there are a few good kings here and there, but they are not perfect. So what does God do to fulfill the covenant? What does he have to do? Send his son. So when David wrote Psalms 1, blessed is the man. He's not talking about himself. He's not talking about Solomon. He's not talking about Hezekiah. He's not talking about Josiah. He's not talking about Jehoshaphat. He knows that none of them, including him and including me, fulfill that criteria. God has to fulfill that criteria. That's the covenant. Aren't you encouraged? I look at this. That's why I asked Cynthia, you know, when the Lord spoke to me last year about this sure mercy of David, which I totally forgot. They said, must put this up. Must put this up. So yesterday when Annabelle sang the song, You Are Faithful, every time I walk past, you know, I just raise up my hand to touch the wall. No, nothing spiritual, don't follow. I just want to touch it. Of course, I'm too short to touch it. But I just want to touch it. Say, yes, sure mercy of David. You promise me you will not fail. You will not fail. You will lead me. That's why I turn to John 21, verse 18 and 19. The only person that can thwart the leadership of God is me. Me. If I say no, Jesus said, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Okay, give you a few passages that you need to read. Then we're going to go quickly. Yeah, this few key passages for you to meditate so that you can grow in cultivating the leadership of Jesus. Psalms 23. Good Shepherd. If I have time later, I'll run through a few verses. Good Shepherd. Psalms 80. Shepherd of Israel. Psalms 80. Shepherd of Israel. John 10. You've got to read John 10. Where Jesus compare a hiring hand and a good shepherd. It's a huge chapter where Jesus say, no, there's a huge difference between hiring hand and good shepherd. Hiring hand is you're employed. When wolves come, you run away. But Jesus said, no, I lay down my life for you. If someone is willing to lay down, you can count on him to lead us well. John 10. Hebrews 13. The great shepherd. The great shepherd. And 1 Peter 5. The chief shepherd. No, all these are connected, but go and find out what does it mean. Go and read it, meditate it, pray that you have a living encounter so that it's not just the memory or the knowledge that is in your mind, but it's the reality. And as you encounter the reality, history will arise within you. Because God wants new history with Him to arise within us. More than just that we have confidence, we can be the burning and the shining lamp. God needs people who have history with Him in such a time as this to really speak His heart. The confidence is in His leadership. That's why I'm praying this year, this house, not just me, but every one of us, we will have history with God that arise. The fingerprint of God will be all over our lives. Wow. So that people come, it's not, wow, the guy preached, his English is not so good, but got a little bit of anointing. I'm no interest in that. I want people to come because, wow, I see the fingerprint of God in your life. The sure mercies of David is evidence in you. I want to be the proof of that good leadership of God. So that people say, where can I find the confidence? We are not saying this. Me. No. Him. He will be the only answer in the coming storm. That I can be the proof of it. Because people are going to need that. Not just pure preaching. Preaching is not going to save or cull it. When the real darkness comes, people need evidence. People need testimony. People need to see history in our lives. Say, where can I find that? Where can I find that? Give you some practical keys in how do you cultivate confidence in His leadership. Write down if you want to, quickly. Then if I have time, I'll just run through two verses. In fact, I'll run through a few if I can. A few practical keys. First one, say yes. Say yes. It's kind of dangerous, but say yes. You know, I say yes long time ago, 1989. I remember I was in this John Wimber seminar and Paul Kane or don't know who talked about end time. And so, God is going to raise up end time. I had no idea what I signed up for. I said, yeah, sounds cool. Sounds great. You know, anointing I want. Revival. Oh, man. I'm a revival sucker. So I'm going. So when I signed up, I said, man, you know, if I will still do it. But that, you know, sometimes, oh yeah, what did I sign up for? Yeah, but say yes. You know, the more and more I learn to say yes, even I don't understand. Because I don't have to figure out everything. He know how to figure. He already figured. No, not that he know how to figure out. He has already figured out. That's why I thought I said when you know we talked about you know few Friday ago we talked about the lamb who was slain before the foundation of the earth. You know, the Bible teaches that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth. Wow. Before God started anything, he had finished everything. Wow, we can have confidence in that. Say yes. John 21 verse 19, the passage I read through. Stretch out your hand. Let him lead you. Let him gird you. No, I'm not asking us to do foolish things, sell everything. No, no. I just say, just tell the Lord, Lord, your leadership is good. I want my life to be an evidence of your leadership. So I say yes, I stretch out my hand to you, knowing that he know how to lead and he lead us well. So the first one is say yes. Say yes, because the only person that can thwart the leadership of Jesus is us. If you read Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, if I didn't get it wrong, talks about Jesus is the one who holds the key of David. Where when he opened doors, no one can shut. When he shut doors, no one can open. You know that there's only one door that he cannot open, even with the key of David? You know what's the door? The door of our heart. That's a Revelation 3, verse 20. He has to say to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Opened. Opened. No one can say yes for you. No one can say yes for me. Only us can thwart the leadership of Jesus. This is the first one. Second, we have to renew our mind so that we have confidence that God is good. That he's not going to mess us up. Go and study Psalms 145. The best place to start in finding out that God is good. God is good. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. We have to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind. I'm going to talk about Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. See, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is about letting Jesus lead us. It's a very simple verse, but it's so hard to live it out. You know, I only have two verses in my life that I want to live out here on earth. Matthew 22, verse 37, love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I discover over there, it's so hard. You know why it's so hard? I'm too smart. I'm too stubborn. I just want you. And I don't trust him. That's why it's so important for us to renew our mind. The older you are, that's why I'm talking to young people. Your semen is not dry like me. Listen to what I say. And renew your mind and find confidence in his leadership. You're going to have a wild ride. Good ride. Fantastic, right? God will not mess you up. He know how to lead. He lead us so well. Don't be wise in our own eyes. Because there's one that's much wiser than us. Not just wise. No, wise but not kind, then there's a different issue. Then there's a big cunning, really. But wise, yet is good. Okay. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we may agree. We may agree that, yes, his will is perfect, his leadership is good. I stretch out my hand and let you gird me. I'll go where you wish me to go. I'll tell you honestly, 14 years ago, we started this or rather God invited me to do this house of prayer thing. I'm not very enthusiastic. I wasn't. Neither am I very excited or confident. You know why? I'll tell you a lot of things I put on my Facebook. Too many difficulties, too many hindrances, too many oppositions, too many obstacles. I wasn't very excited. I wasn't very confident. I wasn't enthusiastic. I came back in July. Yeah, I came back on my birthday, July 30th. I didn't start until September 6th. The reason, you know why? I kind of like, man, why am I getting into this? You know why? Too many things against. No money. No place. When we started, we went to meet at someone's house at Bukit Timah. Some of us were like, I kind of like don't want to laugh or to cry. See, this is a house of prayer. We're literally meeting in someone's house. Where are we going to go? And Chiu was leading worship, you know. In between, he played guitar and played keyboard. I kind of like, also again, don't want to laugh, to cry, you know. I supposed to do harp and boy antiphoner, not this. I wish some of these are recorded. Then we have anniversary. Show some of these, bloopers. Yeah, all the bloopers and no money, no place, no people. I know we suppose don't even need to talk about musicians. You know, if you know how we start, anybody can sing. Go up. Got a voice, can go up maybe. Yeah, you have voice, go up. Now we have faith. Like, you know, when she sing, you know, then I also sang. If I sing, you know, we are in trouble. I just got to make up the number. No money, no place, no people, no experience, no precedent. No one has done this before in Singapore. And everybody tell me cannot one. Cannot. Then there's no instruction manual. People thought that I came back, I hope give me a manual, 2,000 pages, what to do. There's nothing. Really? Nothing. And one more thing. Someone, I have never preached every Friday, every week. I tell myself, oh man, because I heard very gross story about pastors say their most terrifying day is Sunday. You know why? Prepare sermon. So I've never done this before. I don't know whether I can do it. Really? You know what God spoke? I need to read this. Okay, I put it on my Facebook that after 14 years, I said, God, you are true. You are faithful. And then my Facebook, I put this. You know, because a lot of people kind of make comment. I say, no, I said, some people say, oh, Kichong, wow, I admire your courage. Didn't know that I was like Gideon hiding behind the rock, no. Just like after, hide until no choice already. Everybody asking, what am I going to do? I said, okay, I do lah, do. Hide until I cannot hide. And so I have to, okay, so you know, I admire your courage, you know. Or I admire your obedience. Actually, there's nothing to do with obedience. No, I want to be obedient. But I don't know what to do. As I put on my Facebook, great God, weak me. See, a lot of time we want to emphasize on us. No, we're not going to make it. Great God, weak me. Great God, weak me. I'm expecting great things for the next 14 years because God is reminding me again this sure mercies. I want to encounter him in a greater measure. I don't know what is going to come. The only thing I know is that 14 years later, I'll be older. Much older. That's the only thing I'm sure. But I know that his leadership is sure. His faithfulness is sure. And I can have confidence. I want to see new history arise within me in the new measure. No, God said this thing to me. Will you trust my leadership? For my faithfulness is sure. My banner over you is love. And I know how to lead you. You will have the journey of your life. New history with me will arise within you. Wow, I hold on to this. I got nothing else to hold on. I tell you honestly, every year, I don't know whether we'll survive or not. Every year. And I really only come out of it 2011. I say no more. No turning back. Sure. Not because no choice. Like, do 10 years. No. Do 7 years, cannot turn back, you know. No turning back, no turning. No, it's that my heart has settled because I discover that his leadership is so good. I found confidence in his leadership. So the second one is renew our mind. You know, I read Romans 12 verse 2. I pray for myself. I pray for everyone in this house. I pray for many people in this nation that we will be a proof of God's leadership. This verse says, that you may prove that God's, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I pray that there will be many Davids that arise. We prove that his leadership is good. Not through our words, through our life, through God-living fingerprints that people say, you are the proof and the evidence. And I pray for this house. So that's the second thing, renew our mind. Third one. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't be too smart in our own eyes. Maybe what helps me a lot is I'm not so smart, not so smart to do it. Lean not on your own understanding. Fourth one. Turn me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. I'm going to say it quickly, then we're going to end. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Third one is lean not on your own understanding. Fourth one, acknowledge him in every situation, in every decision. See, one of the great mistakes for every believer, young people, listen to this. One of the great mistakes is when we make decision, we don't acknowledge him. No, not acknowledge, not this. No. Okay, I'm going to sign up for this. I acknowledge you already. No, acknowledging means you come before the Lord. Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do? He knows how to lead. Let's read Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. It's talking about the leadership of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, a lot of time, that's a great difficulty, at least for myself. I do trust him a little bit, not with all my heart. That's why my goal is to live out this verse. Trust in, that's why I need my mind to constantly be renewed. And over the last 14 years, I have more confidence because I see how he led me. This 14 years, I was telling my friend, I'm still surviving. I'm still doing after 14 years. My heart's still burning. Because one of my greatest fears, after 14 years, my heart grow cold, I get bitter, burn out. And that's not the kind of ministry that I want to be. My heart is still burning after 14 years. Because he knows how to lead. He knows how to lead. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not. No, I'm not asking us, don't use our brain. Don't use wisdom. We do. But in many situations, especially coming to making decisions, lean not. If there's one thing that I learned while I'm young is that in every situation and decisions, I ask God. Maybe I'm not so smart now, I can't figure it out. I ask God. Lean not on your own understanding. Listen to verse 6. In all your ways, not some of your ways, much of your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. No, he's going to respond. If there's one book that you need to read this season, is Jeremiah. See how God spoke. God spoke, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me. What does God promise? I will answer you and show you great and marvelous things that you do not know. That is his word. God is faithful to his word. He will speak. He will not speak. He will not be silent. Call unto me. If you read Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we often quote just that verse. We don't go further. God said, I have a plan that is for you, perfect. plan that is not to harm you, plan that is not to destroy you, plan that is to bless you. Read study further, God say, seek me because I'm going to lead you. Seek me. I will lead you. Say this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. He shall direct your path. Or some NIV will say, he shall make your path straight. He know how to make the path straight for you. It's been 14 years. God is reminding me again the sure mercies of David. No, it's absolutely true. His faithfulness is sure. His leadership is good. He leads us well. I pray that in this season we will cultivate confidence in the Lord, because God wants new history with him to arise. It's for all of us. You know, I was just, you know, just now during the worship, just a word come to me, you know. Very strong, very clear word. God said, we will not have new history with him until we get out of the boat. Not same old, same old. No, I'm not asking you to do unwise things. I'm asking you to seek God and do things the way that people say, what if I can't hear clearly? Don't worry. I was never able to hear clearly. People think that, you know, I have this hotline to the Lord. No, my antenna is extremely long. My antenna reached to the heaven, no, where God just tell me directly. No, a lot of times I don't hear. But God know how to lead. He shout at me. He know how to shout at us. That is the key thing. I'm going to read one verse, then we're going to just close in prayer. Or rather, I want you to, you just respond to the Lord. The verse says this, John 21, verse 18. John 21, verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you gird yourself and walk where you wish. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Listen to verse 19. Then he spoke, signifying what there Peter will glorify God. And when he has spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. I know my questions to ask, I know especially to ask one thing, ministry, is will you say yes to the leadership of God? More than just this year, let it be that proof of your life, the evidence of your life, so that new history will arise within us. Because God is going to cause new history to arise. Amen.